The Light of Life Radio Ministry, in association with Renewal Ministries, now presents great teachings by experts in the Catholic faith. Today's great teaching was originally presented at a November 2014 conference in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, entitled New Evangelization in a New Millennium, and is presented with permission from Renewal Ministries of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Pete Burak is a 2010 graduate of Franciscan University of Steubenville. He has a heart for preaching and reaching today's Catholic youth and young adults. His core message is, stand up and be a man or woman of God in the heart of the church. He engages young people with stories from his youth, high school experiences, his 2 years on the University of Michigan basketball team, and his transfer to Franciscan University. He motivates young people to stand up for Jesus and make a difference in their world. Pete has been a featured speaker at the Lift Jesus Higher Youth Rally in Toronto, and also gives numerous high school and middle school retreats. He is the director of the Pine Hills Camp for Junior High School Aged Boys. Pete works as director of ID 916, an outreach of Renewal Ministries to Catholic young adults. Additionally, he is working toward his Master's in Theology and Evangelization at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. He is married to Caitlin Donovan of Lewes, Delaware, and they have two little girls, Grace and Aaron.
This is based on a fire rally. Now, we're frying you today. So we talked about faith, we talked about repentance, and now we're going to talk about intercession, and finally evangelization. So we're halfway done here, but this next speaker I'm most excited about, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he's a fellow alum of Franciscan University of Steubenville. I'm always happy to have another alumni here. But the second reason, I want everyone to look to their right and their left real quick and look at the people around you. There's like a common misunderstanding that the Holy Spirit is only for people over the age of 40, okay? That the renewal is only for those who, you know, were born in it 50 years ago or something like that. And that's just not true. And it's kind of been my mission to come against that misconception. I remember one of the things that used to discourage me the most, I grew up in the Charismatic Renewal, were the people who used to talk about, well, you should have seen what it was like at those Notre Dame conferences. And I'd say, well, what about now? You know, what about the Holy Spirit? What's he doing right now? Well, our next speaker is a young man just like myself, and he's awesome. He's been involved in the renewal, and he's doing great work in the church. His name's Pete Burak, and he's dedicated his life to bringing intentional discipleship to young adults, which is a really hard group to reach. Only 10% of young adults we know are mass goers, okay? And so he's got his work cut out for him, and he specializes in bringing intentional discipleship to the young adult community. Pete came also from Ann Arbor, Michigan. He works for Renewal Ministries. He's a father of two, and he's married, and he's going to speak to us about intercession. So if we could give a hand to Pete Burak.
All right. Talk number three. You still with me? Yeah? All right. I'm counting on all my younger friends. No, not that I'm discounting the older folks. Would never want to insult you. But I'm really counting on the younger folks to provide a little energy for me. I am, as a Myers-Briggs would describe, an ENFP, okay? Which, I don't actually know what that means. It's just, they're letters. But one of the things I've kind of gathered is that I draw energy from other people, okay? So when I'm with other people, when I'm speaking with other people, when I'm the center of attention, I get more energy. So it'd be really helpful for me if y'all paid attention. And laughed if I'm funny, when I'm funny, I should say. And, you know, just let's do this together. It's the third talk. Let's not let the energy drop. The Lord still has so much more for us today. So much more for us today. And I'm just happy to be a part of it. Now, I want to pull Pope Francis and ask all of you to extend your hands and pray over me. Just simple prayer, whatever's on your heart, for about 5 seconds, 10 seconds, because I want more prayer that this session, this time together, is exactly what he wants. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. I highly recommend that if you ever have a chance to have 500 people pray for you. I'd do it. So a few years ago, I had a pretty unique opportunity. I was a freshman at the University of Michigan, and I decided that I wanted to try out for the basketball team. I had a very successful high school career, and I wanted to see if I could take it to the next level. And through a series of circumstances, I didn't make the team my freshman year, but I was a manager on the team. I got to travel with the team. I spent a lot of time with the program. I got to know the players, the coaches. It was just an amazing experience. And that whole time, I continued to work on my game because the dream was still to make the team. So my sophomore year, tried out again. And this time, instead of just kind of flat out saying, no, you weren't on the team, they said, well, we'll put you on the practice squad. And you can practice every day. You're on the official roster, but you're not going to dress for games. And we'll see what happens from there. Well, through some circumstances, a couple guys transfer, a couple guys get hurt. Next thing you know it, wouldn't you know it, I was bumped up. I got a uniform with my name on the back and everything. It was awesome. Number 10, Barack on the back. That's how you say my name, brother, right? It's not Barack. Not that it really matters, but Barack, number 10, okay? And that year was just a really amazing year in many ways. Lots of very cool experiences, traveling to Duke and Michigan State and all these different places, all the places, if you follow college basketball, I got to experience. It was pretty awesome. One of those trips, we were at Ohio State, okay? And because we're the University of Michigan, Because we're at the University of Michigan, we flew everywhere, and we flew on the Detroit Red Wings private jet, okay? So we go down to Ohio State, we get killed, we get murdered. When I was at Michigan, we were not good, okay? And things have changed now, and praise God, but when I was there, it wasn't so good. And we get just destroyed. And to make matters worse, we're driving to the airport to fly home, and a snowstorm of pretty epic proportions starts rolling in. And it's a private jet, so you actually walk on the tarmac and get up on the plane, and it's snowing like crazy, and I'm helping with bags, and we're getting up. And so I finally get into the seat, and I sit near the back of the plane, and I sit down, and it's Chris Chelios' seat. So naturally, I start flipping through his DVDs that he had left behind, and I'm kind of not really paying attention. I look over, and one of our starting point guard at the time, Jarrett, he's sitting there looking pretty scared. And he's got the folding thing down in front of him, and he's got his Bible on the tray table thing in front of him. And he's just kind of staring at his Bible. First off, I didn't even know he was a Christian, which tells you a little something about the way I was living and the way he was living, that it wasn't apparent, it wasn't obvious to each other that we knew the Lord. That's a whole nother talk for a whole nother time, right? But he's looking, and I go, Jared, man, you all right? And he looks at me dead seriously, and he says, I think we're going to die, Pete. I said, why do you say that? And he's just like, I don't know, man, but I'm scared. And he's like, so he's just kind of holding his Bible. And so I'm like, now I'm a little like, whoa, this is a little strange. And we start to, taxi down the runway, and it's snowing. I mean, it's really snowing. The wind is howling, and we take off, and I kid you not, it was the most terrifying few seconds of my life. I mean, the plane is bouncing to the point that the beverage cart is shaking, and things are falling off of it, and it's just, it's pretty crazy. At one point, I'm sure you've experienced this before, at one point, we hit like an air bubble or something, and the whole plane just kind of goes, you know that feeling? And your stomach ends up on the ceiling and all that. And right as that happens, Jarrett grabs his Bible at the top of his voice, goes, oh, Jesus, please don't let us die. And we didn't die. It was good. And that was pretty amazing. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm happy about that. Now, the obvious question, why tell that story? Well, for two reasons. One, it's funny. And I like to start with a little laughter. And two, that was my perception of what intercessory prayer was. That's what I thought intercession was. Those moments of panic, those, oh, God, help me moments. That's what I envisioned as intercessory prayer. So naturally, when Santos gives me a call a few months ago, and he says, hey, Pete, we're going to do this fire rally thing. And fire rally, I said, yes, great. I had heard all about them. I grew up in the Renewal. Just like we were talking about. I knew that they were great, that the amazing things happened. Father Mike Scanlon, Ralph Martin. Yes, let's do this. So I'm thinking, all right, fire, right, faith, okay, yeah, I got it. And he goes, so we're gonna have the first one's gonna be faith. And I'm thinking, faith, yes, I can preach on faith. And he goes, we're gonna have Dr. Mary Healy do that. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay, cool, fair enough. And he goes, and then we're gonna have a session on repentance. That's the R. I thought, good, good. Repentance, great. I can preach on repentance. That sounds wonderful. Come, repent, believe in the gospel. Let's do this. And he goes, we're gonna have Dr. Ralph Martin do that. And I thought, yeah, you know, that does make sense. Yep, I understand that. And he goes, and then E is evangelization. And I thought, evangelization, okay, finally. That is something that is deep within. This is what I've dedicated my whole life to, evangelization. I'm getting a master's in evangelization. Of course, let's do evangelization. Repent, believe the gospel, follow Jesus, go make disciples. We're all called. It's the deepest identity of the church, right? It's who we are. It's not something extra we do. Man, I can talk all day about evangelization. He goes, yeah, we're going to have Father Joe Freedy give the talk on evangelization. I thought, okay, F-R-E. Shoot, I don't even know what I is. He goes, so we'd like you to do intercession. And in my mind, I'm going, intercession? Because for me, it's faith, intercession. Repentance, evangelization. And I'm just thinking, of course, I don't say that to him. I go, yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And what's been amazing, I have to admit, over the last few months of preparing for this talk, of doing a lot of research, of sitting down with Miss Intercession herself, Sister Ann Shields. She works in the office next to me. Yeah, we can definitely clap for Sister Ann Shields. After spending a lot of time with her, reading her book, and like I said, just kind of wandering down the hall every once in a while and be like, Sister, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I have to say that the Lord has completely, completely revolutionized what I think of as intercession. And completely, completely changed how I value it. To the point that I'm not the same guy because of having to prepare this talk. And what's pretty cool about it for me, for all of you, is I'm not an expert. I'm really not. I'm one of you trying to figure out how this fits in. And all I want to do is just share the insights that the Lord has shown me over the last few months. And just invite you to join in with me. Because it's really exciting. Intercession is not the ugly stepsister of faith, repentance, and evangelization. No, I'd actually like to say that it's a linchpin for our life. It's amazing. It's an amazing opportunity that the Lord is presenting to us. The Lord's just kind of offering it to us. He's saying, I see your faith. You've repented. You know you have to go make disciples. Do this with me. Intercede with me. Let me show you what that means. So I want to start by kind of defining it for us. Okay. So what is intercession? Put very, very, very simply, it's praying for others. It's taking others' needs and putting them before the Father. Certainly, there's an element of it that we pray for ourselves and we can intercede on our own behalf. But primarily, intercession requires an outward focus, a certain death to self. It changes, it's a changing of our perspective from inward to outward. And that's why it's interesting that today is fry instead of fire, because I actually kind of like that. Because we focused primarily on ourselves the first two sessions, faith and repentance. And now it's time to shift, and it's time to look outward. It's time to look beyond these walls, right? It's time to look beyond just the here and now and just the people here. So there's a verse here from Ezekiel that I think just sums it up perfectly. This is God talking to Ezekiel. He said, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land,
that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
You are listening to Great Teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching, call LOL Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.
Intercession, in many ways, is that standing in the breach, standing in the gap. We're inserting ourselves intentionally between whoever we're interceding for and God. He said he looked for that man. He looked for a man to stand in the gap, to intercede for the land, to ask for mercy, ask for more love, ask for fire to rain down. He was looking for someone to stand in that gap. And he said that he found none. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the nun. That was profound. I want the Lord to look for someone standing in the gap, and I want him to see Pete Burak. I want him to see all of us here gathered, so that when he looks and he says, "What am I going to do with this land that has forgotten me? What am I going to do with this land that has rejected me?" He first sees the faithful. Think about how important that is. When the Lord looks at America, does he see faithful people who love him, who know him, who are on their knees day and night asking for more mercy, Lord, for a change, for more grace, for the fire to fall? Does he see that? And the question is, if he doesn't see that, we're in trouble. That's a problem. We want him to look at America and the Western world and the whole world and see first people who have put themselves out in front and said, "Lord, send your mercy. Hold your anger. Hold your retribution. We're working for you. We're evangelizing. We're doing what we believe. We're repenting." Okay? Another verse, another reason why it's important. This is Paul in Ephesians. You always should find it ahead of time, but, you know. All right, here it is. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Amen? That was kind of weak, y'all. That's all right. We'll get better. It's okay. I don't know why I said y'all. I'm from Michigan. Okay. Anyway, refocusing. That ENFP thing going on here. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. There's some really key points in that I'm going to bring out in a second. But I want to highlight. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Intercession, simply put, is making supplication for all the saints. The saints with a capital S and the saints with the lowercase s. All of us. All those who don't know the Lord. This is not, one of the defining characteristics of intercession is it's not just kind of a short-term thing. It's a long-term commitment to say that I want to do this. I want to be an intercessor. I want to stand in the gap. And the beautiful thing is, we don't do it alone. Because Ezekiel was written, right, before there was a man who stepped into that gap and permanently stays there. That man is Jesus. And really what's so exciting about intercession is that we are participating in one of Christ's fundamental roles. He stands in the gap for us. He takes the guilt. He takes the blame, right? We all know this. This is pretty simple stuff. But it's important to recognize it through putting it through this filter of he's asking us to stand with him. He's saying, "You, my faithful, stand in the gap with me." So now when the Lord looks, he sees Jesus
and he sees us. That's what we're being called to. That's what we have the opportunity to do. Water break. All right, so if you're taking notes, I'm going to try to keep it as easy. I'm sure none of you are, but we're going to do 5 points. All right? Thank you. You're keeping notes. That's wonderful. And you too. Okay. Well, wow. I'm flattered. All right. So we're going to go through 5 characteristics, 5 keys to intercession. Okay? 5 keys. First one that you've probably heard a million, trillion times, but it bears repeating because we need to know it every single day. It's the thing that changed my life. It's the thing that the first time I ever gave a talk, I prepared a big, long talk. It was in high school, and I was so proud of it. I was like, man, I did this. And when I got up to speak, I couldn't believe it. What came out of my mouth was not the talk. It was this. And in a certain sense, it was all I could say for like 10 minutes. And the place went bananas because it was just the Spirit came. It's this. God is real. And he loves you. God is real and he loves you and he is our Father. Now, I can say that with as much passion and conviction over and over again, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't mean anything unless you believe it, right? It doesn't mean anything unless you let it penetrate your heart and you actually say, yes, he is real. And it's not enough that he exists. He actually loves me. It's not even enough that he loves me. It's he's my Father. Whew. In a certain sense, I should just drop the mic and walk off, right? That's all we need to know today. If that's all we learn, if that's all we internalize today, that's enough. God is real. He loves you. And he is your Father. The first step of being an intercessor is knowing that. Because think about it. If he's not real, why are we interceding? That would make no sense. We're just praying to this guy, right? And if he doesn't love us, why would we intercede? Because if he's some vindictive God, that would be kind of silly to pray to him if he's just going to be like, nope, sorry, and not do anything about it. And if we don't really realize he's our Father, a Father that really loves us in the full, perfect understanding of fatherhood, then again, it can be a little bit hard to understand why we would want to pray to him. We need to know this. We need to live it. We need to consume it. We need to breathe it. I like to tell stories, so you're going to just have to bear with me. But when I was, about 8 years ago, I was working at a summer camp, and we knew there was a group of kids coming in, a Christian summer camp, where the whole point of the camp really is to help these boys come to know the Lord. In a nutshell. And we were looking at the list of the boys that were coming, and we recognized a couple tough nuts, all right? Guys that we just knew were going to be a bit of an issue. And so for a few months, we had that list, and we just prayed. We just prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we interceded for these boys. And our simple prayer was very simple. It was just, Lord, show yourself to them. Reveal your love to these boys, okay? And that was the whole thing. And there was this one guy in particular. His name was Victor. He grew up without a dad. Didn't have a father that he knew of. And he was a really tough kid. Good kid, but very tough. And we just knew it was going to be tough. So we were praying for Victor. So it's the Tuesday night prayer time. Praise and worship. Kids are really being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the theme that night was the Father's love. And I remember kind of glancing back at one point and looking at Victor, a guy who didn't know his father, didn't understand what it meant to have a father's love, and his face could not have been more angry, set, hard, just like he loved camp, but he hated being in these prayer times, and he hated hearing about the father's love because it just didn't work for him. He didn't understand it. It wasn't real to him. And so I'm standing in the back of the room at one point, and we've been praying for Victor. And I'm just kind of like, Lord, what do you want to do with him? And I felt like Jesus said, go tell him that he's loved. Go tell him how much I love him.
And I thought, yeah, okay. Good thought, you know. Well, how about we have one of the older guys do it? You know, the camp director, he should do it, you know? And Jesus said, no, you need to go tell him how much I love him. I'm like, Lord, I'm only like 2 years older than him. I mean, it doesn't even work. This isn't right. Right? And he just kind of persistently said, Pete, you got to go tell him how much I love him. So I said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, you have to give me kind of a supernatural love for Victor. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, my heart just kind of blew up with love for this kid. And I just really experienced how much Jesus loved him. So I went over to him. I said, Victor, can I talk to you? And he said, sure. And I took him in the back of the room. We sat on two ends of a couch. And I kind of looked at him and I just said, all right, here we go. And I just came out. Victor, Jesus loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. And I just went through this whole litany. And I turned away and I thought, man, that was horrible. That didn't work. And I turned back around and he's bawling his eyes out. And not like, you know, sniffles, like snot running down his face, like the whole waterworks get turned on, right? And I just, my only response was like, yes! And I was like, wow, that's probably not appropriate. And, the Lord worked. And I went and got somebody who was older, more experienced. We talked through him. We prayed with him for like over an hour. And he was freed of all this hurt. And he came to know the Father's love. Looking back on it, I've only just come to realize that it was that intercessory prayer before camp that laid the foundation for that experience. And then it was the simple message that Jesus loves you. The soil was tilled. Boom, the Lord showed up. So that's the first one. God just really loves you, and he is our Father. Number two, repentance. We heard a lot about repentance just now, so I'm not going to keep going in on that. I just want to read a section from Psalm 51. You know, it's kind of the repentant psalm. David had done these horrible things, and he writes this psalm. And man, I read this almost every day. He says, for you take no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, thou would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. That tells us something right there. The Lord can't say no to a broken heart that comes to him. One that recognizes its weakness. One that repents. He's saying he doesn't care about a burnt offering. He doesn't care about that. The sacrifice that's acceptable to him is a broken spirit. And when we come with a broken spirit, either on our own behalf or the behalf of others, the Lord listens and it's pleasing to his ear. This is really important as an intercessor. Sometimes we need to almost repent on the behalf of others, on behalf of our country, on behalf of our church, on behalf of our brother who we're praying for, whoever it is. One of the first things we should do when we set out to pray for someone or a group of someone's is to get down on our knees and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Will you forgive me? Not only to him, but sometimes that repentance means interpersonal repentance as well. One of the things that most restricts the movement of the Spirit is unrepentant hearts. If you're feeling like you're trapped and not being able to grow in holiness, we need to really look at ourselves and say, who are we not forgiving? It's just an element of the spiritual life. We need forgiveness. We need to be broken before the Lord so he can build us back up, right? And make us into a new creation. So when we set out to pray for others, we're not judging when we repent on their behalf. We're just simply calling a spade a spade. We need to repent from this. Lord, we're coming to you. We're broken. Heal us. And now please listen to our petition. So number two is repentance. Number three, something I think most of you are very familiar with, the Holy Spirit.
Why do we need the Holy Spirit? That's a dumb question, but I'm going to answer kind of quickly. It's kind of obvious, right? We need the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work without the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to pray. We don't know who to pray for. We don't know what to pray for unless we're flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the game changer, right? It's the thing that makes it all make sense. He comes and things make sense and we know what to do. You know, it's so often, I'm sure you've done this, and I've done this before. You know, we see something that needs to be prayed for or pray for, and we need to intercede for someone, right? And we think of what needs to change, right? We go, okay, I'm going to pray that this changes in this person's life. Or I'm going to pray X, Y, or Z, and it's our idea.
You are listening to Great Teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching, call LOL Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.
We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we need to pray for, how to pray for that person, when to pray. We need to be walking completely in the Spirit. Because when we do that, then we really pray what's on the Lord's heart. We pray within His will. And when we pray within His will, things change. Things happen. My dad, I got a call from my dad probably in April, middle of April. Normal call. It's kind of a Saturday afternoon, kind of surprising. So my mom and dad were on the phone. And he said, Pete, I really don't know how to tell you this, but I just got a call from my doctor, and I've been diagnosed with terminal, systemic, strange cancer. And we don't know the details right now. We don't know what's going on, but I just wanted you to know so you could start praying, we could start figuring it out. Now, I'm willing to bet that most of us have been touched in some way by cancer, in a friend's family or whatever. And it's that phone call, you know, that you just never really expect to happen to you. And then when it does, nothing really changes. Nothing is ever the same after that. And so come to find out that he has this extremely rare form of cancer that only 50 people in the country are diagnosed with per year. It has 8 words in it because they can't figure out what it is. So they just keep adding adjectives to it, you know. And so maybe we can figure out what it is if we just keep calling it more words, right? And this was kind of a bombshell in our family. And it seemed pretty obvious what we should be praying for, right? I mean, if you think about it, it seems pretty obvious. He has cancer. He's going to die if nothing changes. Well, we should pray that the cancer goes away, right? And that's the way our family started in it. The Lord didn't like that so much because he has a plan for this cancer. And he has a plan for my dad. He has a plan for my family. And he has a plan for everybody that know him. And his plan, so far, does not include taking the cancer away. But what his plan does include is conversions. His plan does include the building of the kingdom. His plan does include the truth being told through this situation. And what has happened is the Lord has taken this cancer, this thing that, if I think about it long enough, will make me cry my eyes out. You know, my dad's my best friend, you know. I understand the love of the Father in most as best I can because of my dad. So when I think about it, it still hurts like crazy. And yet, our intercession is now not so much about, Lord, take the cancer away. It's, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. But we're praying for conversions. We want our doctors to come away thinking, where is this joy coming from? Where is this hope coming from? I want my aunts and uncles who don't know the Lord right now to be radically threatened by the fact that my dad is not depressed. If you met my dad right now, if he's standing right here, he is one of the most joyful men you will ever meet. And praise be to God, the cancer's not growing nearly at the pace, but I'm convinced it's not growing at the pace, not because we're asking the Lord to keep it small. I'm convinced it's because the Lord is using it so powerfully that he has to stay around, he has to stay in the game, because souls are being changed. And that's a radical shift that only really comes through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working on our family. Okay? So, Holy Spirit's important. Why? Because we need to know how to pray, we need to know what to pray, and we need to know who to pray for. We need to know what to pray for, too. All right, number four. I couldn't think of a pithy way to say this, so it's a phrase. In the name of Jesus. All right, so let's look at another verse here. In the name of Jesus. Intercession requires us to pray in the name of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Do you believe?
Yes.
All right, I'm feeling like I'm losing you a little bit. Here, let's try this again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Do you believe?
Yes.
That's a little better. Will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. I need to study that a little bit more, because that one really challenges me. Greater works than I do? We need Dr. Healy back up here to kind of expound on that, the scripture scholar. But forget about that. Don't worry about that. It's this part that I really wanted you to focus on. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Really? I feel like I've asked the Lord a lot of times in his name for things, you know? In the name of Jesus, make me 4 inches taller. I prayed that prayer a lot growing up, all right? As a very small white basketball player, there was a great desire to grow in height. Here I am. In the name of Jesus, don't let my dog die. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we do this all the time, right? And it can be kind of discouraging in a certain sense. It can be a little bit almost off-putting to say, I feel like I'm praying. I feel like I believe. I feel like I'm asking in his name. And yet so often, what I'm interceding for, what I'm asking for, isn't happening. I didn't understand this until I talked to Sister Ann. And she told me a story. She said this. When she was younger, her dad owned a gas station. Okay? And often, while he was working at the gas station, he would send little Sister Ann Shields to the grocery store to get some things. And he would just say, get these things and tell them I'll pay for it later. Okay? And so she would go over to the store. She would say, hey, we need bread, milk, cheese, whatever. And don't worry, my dad's good for it. And they'd say, great, here's what you asked for. Take it back to your dad. She asked in his name, right? She went in his place. She asked. But she knew what he really wanted. And the store knew what he really wanted. Think about it this way. If she had gone to the store and said, I think my dad wants 15 candy bars. Actually, make that 16 candy bars. Yeah, and 2 gallons of ice cream. That's right. Now we're talking. Now, think about that. If she had gone to the grocery store and said those things, do you think they would have been like, oh, yes, little Sister Ann Shield, here are your 16 candy bars and 2 gallons of ice cream? No. They would have questioned that, right? They would have probably said, like, I don't know. And they would have had her go back and make sure. Or maybe they would have even gone to her dad and said, do you realize what she's saying in your name? It's an interesting example, because in order to really say that in faith, in order to really say in the name of Jesus, we have to know what he wants, right? We're praying to him and saying, Lord, I know what you want because I'm putting your name on it. And we can't do that unless we know him, unless we're growing in holiness, unless we're walking in the Holy Spirit, unless we're falling on our face before him in adoration and saying, Lord, give me your heart. Transform my heart. Help me to disappear so that you are the only one who's showing up. Then we can pray in his name. This is something I want you to repeat after me. Your will be done. Your will be done. That is a terrifying prayer. I'm only 26 years old and I know that's scary because I've prayed it and the Lord answers it. And he loves that prayer. Oh, gosh, does he love that prayer? Oh, man, he loves that prayer. Do we love that prayer? Yes, we do. I want what is your will, is a refrain we need to have. Your will be done. That's something we need to get up every morning as an intercessor and say, Lord, whatever it is, your will, we want it. I'm going to pray for this situation. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do what I think you want me to do. But in the end, Lord, I want what you want. And what does Jesus want? He wants souls. He wants conversions. He wants people to come to know him. So if we know in any situation when we're interceding that primarily what the Lord is after is our hearts and the hearts of those we're praying for. So yeah, we want healings. And yeah, we want our nation to be on a different path, or we want our politicians to do something different. But what we should really be praying for, because we know it's the will of God, is their conversion. We want to be praying, Lord, in your name, reveal yourself. That's a powerful prayer. Intercession. Last point. I got like 2 minutes. I got to be quick. All right. I can be quick. Number 5. Don't stop. ... Ever. Don't stop praying. Don't stop interceding. If the Lord answers one prayer, keep going and find the next one. Just keep doing it. Don't stop even when it seems like it's not working. Don't stop when it's not working. Don't stop ever. Just keep praying. Keep trusting. Story about that. I have this little bracelet on my wrist, okay? I don't wear it because it's cool, because it's not, okay? It's just an ugly little chain. I wear it because it has deep meaning for me. I went down to Mexico when I was a senior in high school, and we went to the garbage dumps outside of Mexico City and did a mission trip there. And really what it was a medical mission, but then we played with the kids and we developed relationships, we prayed with the people, and really we went to just look them in the eye and say, you're not alone, okay? You have worth. Some of these people have never heard that before. So that's what we did. My Spanish is not good, but it doesn't matter. It's the language of love, right? So there was one little boy in particular, name was David. Man, did we get along. We hit it off. He showed up. He had no possessions other than his prized possessions were these soccer shoes. And we played soccer the whole week together. And at the end of the week, I gave him a hug and I said, David, in really broken Spanish, I just said, David, Jesus loves you. Don't ever forget it. I love you too. And I'll see you in a couple years when I can come back. He said, okay, and bye. A year from then, some of my friends went to the exact same place, and I said, hey, make sure you look up David, tell him Pedro loves him, and that I miss him. So they come back from the mission trip. I'm talking to one of my friends. I say, so, did you see David? This kid's a 10-year-old. He was 10 years old. And my friend Kelsey said, Pete, nobody knows where he is. They think he might have got swept up in the drug culture. Nobody's really sure where he is. This is a kid for an entire year. Every day I prayed for him. Every single day. And standing right now, I have no idea where he is. But not a day has gone by where I haven't stopped praying for him. And I really gotta believe that the Lord still has a plan for him. Fast forward. A couple years later, I go down again and another little boy. Same thing. Hit it off. His name's Fernando. The last day, I've gone a couple times a year, and so I'm leaving, and he gives me this bear hug, one of those hugs where you think the hug's over, and you start to release, and they squeeze a little tighter, you know, one of those hugs, and you're like, wow, okay, and you keep going. By the end of it, I was really crying, because here's my little guy, and all I could think of was David. Same age, same awesome little soul, same awesome little heart, and I'm leaving, and what's going to happen to him in this garbage dump? Right before I leave, he reaches into his pocket. This kid has nothing. He lives in garbage. Okay? I mean, mounds of garbage. He reaches into his pocket, and he gives me this chain. And he looks me in the eye, And he says, and I could barely understand it because, like I said, my Spanish is not good. He looks me in the eye and he says, "Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me." When I was preparing this talk, I was going through an old backpack. And I had found the chain. I had forgotten about him. I had stopped praying for him. And the Lord blasted me on that right there. I picked up this chain and I thought, oh my. And I got down on my knees right then and there and I prayed for Fernando. And I probably won't wear it the rest of my life, but I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it in a safe place. And as best as I can, I'm gonna keep going. And I'm gonna keep praying and I'm gonna keep trusting that Fernando is a child of God and that Jesus loves him. And that even though I can't be there with him right now, he's got a plan. So real quick, the five. God is real and he loves you. Repentance. The Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. And the correct understanding of that. And don't stop. Let's pray real quick. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. I thank you especially for my younger brothers and sisters who are here. Lord, build them up in their faith. Help them to know how real you are, how important this is, how important it is to the church and to you that they are faithful. And Lord, I pray that you equip and empower everyone here to leave today truly knowing what it means to intercede and having a heart for it. Lord, give us your heart, your will. Amen.
You have been listening to great teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching or other similar teachings for yourself or your friends, call Light of Life Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.
Cannot feel, when my wounds won't heal, Lord, I humbly kneel, hidden in you. Lord, you are my life, so I don't mind to die, just as long as I'm hidden in you. If I could just sit with you a while, if you could just hold me, nothing could touch me, though I'm wounded, though I die. If I could just sit with you a while, I need you to hold me moment by moment till forever passes by. When I know I've sinned, when I should have been crying out, my God, and hidden in you. Lord, I need you now more than I know how. So I humbly bow, hidden in you. If I could just sit with you a while, if you could just hold me, nothing could touch me. Though I'm wounded, though I die, if I could just sit with you a while. I need you to hold me moment by moment till forever passes by. I could just sit with you a while. I need you to hold me moment by moment till forever passes by. If I could just sit with you a while.